Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10, at the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Here's into the end zone, and it is caught for the touchdown. Sammy Watkins, touchdown Buffalo. Touchdown, Sammy Watkins.
Woo! Woo! It's show time. It's go time. Let's go, baby.
Dominate on three. 1, 2, 3.
Dominate.
Let's go.
And he's going to be sacked again. He is dropped again.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Coming up on the show tonight, we'll talk about the Bills' trip to Jim Kelly's golf tournament today. What did Rex Ryan's crew learn from the Bills alumni there? Give us a call and phone in your thoughts on that. We'll talk with the new Bills quarterback, Matt Sims, coming up at the bottom of this hour. And next hour, we'll be in studio with Bills running backs coach and assistant head coach, Anthony Lynn.
If we're all in it, if we're all in it together, we'll win.
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Start of another week, and we are ready to go here from One Bills Drive in our studio inside One Bills Drive, just off the media room at Pro Sports Training Center. Good evening. Welcome to another week of Bills Talk here on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, where you are always welcome to join in the conversation. The phone line's open about anything you'd like to talk about regarding the Bills or the NFL. Here's the number, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call, 1-888-552-550. You can do it via Twitter. Reach us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Hope you had a good weekend. I worked a little bit yesterday. I was here yesterday during the day, during a torrential downpour for the flag football tournament that was going on inside the stadium. The folks at Lenovo Pizza helped put that on, and it was just miserable conditions. I salute all the flag football players who are out there during the driving rainstorm continuing to play. I was out of here just a little bit less than an hour. It was just brutal conditions. Last night, of course, the big Jim Kelly weekend, the golf tournament today. Last night, the celebrity gala, the VIP gala at the Adams Mark Hotel downtown. More than happy to serve as one of the masters of ceremonies for that last night, including the auction. Great time, great cast of characters. Always good to catch up with Bill's alumni. Had a long chat with several of them. Ed Rutkowski, great talk with two of my favorites, Jim Richer and John Davis, a couple of offensive linemen back in town to support their former teammate Jim Kelly. Bruce Smith, talked with him. Andre Reed, of course, Thurman Thomas, always there. Kelly, obviously, was all over. Think about a year ago at this time, and I emceed that event a year ago when Jim Kelly was not there. And there was no question, there was a pall over that event last year, just 1 year ago this weekend, when Jim Kelly was not there. He was actually in the hospital here in Buffalo. And I remember as a year ago, as his teammates, his former Bills teammates came through and showed up at the gala event at the Adams Mark last year, many of them had just come from the hospital where they were visiting Jim or were on their way the next day to visit Jim in the hospital. And it was clearly a pall cast over the entire event last year, the entire weekend, because of Jim's status, the way he was really in the throes of his cancer battle. Here we are a year later, and he is on stage last night, bopping around the room with energy and enthusiasm and greeting all his old friends and his supporters and the sponsors for the event. We auctioned off, they made thousands of dollars for the Kelly for Kids Foundation through the generous donations of people in the auction portion of the evening. And Jim basically commandeered that. Many of the auction items included him. A deer hunting trip to the West. There was a fishing trip. All kinds of hunting and fishing activities. Most of them including the spending time with Jim Kelly. So it was pretty amazing to think of where we were a year ago and talking to a lot of people about that. I got the same sense from folks about that. We're going to talk about what the Bills did today, but just to give you a sense, today at the golf tournament, I had a chance to talk for a minute or two with Chris Berman, a longtime friend of the Bills, longtime friend of Jim Kelly's, who was at the golf outing today and at the event last night. And Chris kind of summed it up, how great it felt this year to have Jim Kelly back and healthy and on the scene at his celebrity golf tournament weekend.
The end of the evening, Bobby Greco's band played We Are Family. It's the last song of the night. And all the Kellys, obviously, Jill and Aaron and Jim, but all the brothers and their wives were up on stage. I almost teared up, you know, because that's what I'll take from this one. I had to remind myself a week ago, that's right, Jim wasn't here last year. I mean, duh, when I thought about it. Matter of fact, it was on this day I went to the hospital, saw him, and then interviewed Aaron for Father's Day. And we didn't know what was going to happen. There's so much love. I know it seems cold out that winter has returned. There's a lot of warmth for this tournament, as much as we've ever had, and it's pretty cool.
I think Chris Berman's right about that. It was a different vibe, certainly different than last year and different from recent years at the Jim Kelly Golf Tournament today. They are still, they're just probably wrapping things up as we speak right now at Terry Hills Golf Course, but a great weekend, including last night's gala and the golf tournament today, despite the miserable weather today, and spirits were high. And here's what made it special, too, and memorable, too. And in a stroke of, I'm not going to say, I don't know, I don't like to throw out the word genius. Jay, help me out. What word am I? I'm talking about Rex Ryan's decision to take the entire current Bills team out there to forego OTAs today, forego one of his precious 10 days of OTAs, and spend at least half the day from 8:30 in the morning until 11:30 or 12 noon at the Jim Kelly Golf Tournament. Was it genius? No, an inspired choice.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's a good one.
Thanks for it. Yeah. It inspired.
Thanks for helping.
Yeah. It was an inspired choice by the head coach to bring his team out there, loading him up on three or four buses. They show up here today, getting ready to go to work, do their regular routine with the meetings and the on-field activities. They only get 10 OTAs. They only get 10, and then they get into the mini camp. You'll recall a couple of weeks ago, Rex Ryan took the team out bowling in an effort to create some team bonding. Today, he took them all out to the Jim Kelly Golf Tournament. I thought it was an inspired move by the new head coach of the Bills for on a variety of levels. First, break some monotony of OTAs. You know, the players have been here, many of them, for several weeks now, since the first week of April. So it breaks up that monotony. Second, just bonding time, being together time. But even more importantly, I think, those players, those 90 Buffalo Bills, and, you know, pretty much a brand-new coaching staff, get a chance to dip back into the history and the tradition and the legacy of the franchise with the greatest teams that this franchise ever produced from the early 1990s, the four-time Super Bowl contenders. They get a chance to go back and mix and mingle with the likes of Andre Reed and Thurman Thomas and Bruce Smith and Jim Kelly and the others, Jim Richer and Fred Smirlis and all the others who were there. And, you know, in fact, I witnessed something. It was Matt Cassel who walked up last night to Fred Smirlis, and you know, they practice inside the field house. Matt Cassel, obviously, I think he knew Fred Smirlis from his time in New England, and Fred was a radio star there, but he said, hey, I see your picture on the wall inside the field house every day at practice. I mean, think about that. You know, those players spend the bulk of their time in the Ed Pro Sports field house practicing all the time, and what's on the wall? All of the Buffalo Bills alumni who have either been all pro or all AFL or Pro Bowl performers, all of them. And you know, that's in their head, and I'm sure that happened on more than one occasion. I witnessed one occasion. I'm sure that happened on more than one occasion, that the current players recognize a name or a face from somebody from that golden era of Bills football, which is a long time ago, 20 to 25 years ago, and make the connection. And there's a guy right in front of him. There was a great scene today, a group picture of, Chris and Mike Shope just mentioned it, but a group picture of Bruce Smith, Mario Williams, Kyle Williams, side by side by side. That's, you know, what does it mean? Wins and losses? I don't know about that. But in terms of these players, these current Bills, identifying with the legacy of the franchise, the history of the franchise, to know where they're playing and what they're playing for, I think it's huge. And that's what we want to talk with our callers about tonight. Give us a call, 803-0550, the number to call. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. The lines are open right now. You can reach out and find us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. What can this current Buffalo Bills team, these 90 players, what can they learn from the Kelly Super Bowl era? What can they learn from meeting those players, being around those players, seeing the way last night and today at the golf tournament, seeing the way the fans, Bills fans, react to having those players around? What do you think they get from it? What can Rex Ryan's team learn from Jim Kelly's team? You know, you can go anywhere you want with that. Can they learn about resilience? Can they learn about what it takes to succeed and thrive in the NFL? You know, they spent the half a day anyway at the tournament. What can they learn from those Super Bowl Bills? Can they learn about the history of the franchise and how good it is when you are winning team in Buffalo? How well Bills players are treated and remembered and fondly remembered when things go well here? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. What can the Rex Ryan Bills, all of whom spent half a day at least at the golf course today, what can they learn from those Bills from the Super Bowl era? Phone lines open, 803-0550. From outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter, at John Murphy Show. A couple of tweets already. What can the Bills of today learn from those old Bills? Timothy Van Tessel tweets in, hats off to Rex Ryan. Class act all the way. Love the community support. That's the other thing today's Bills could learn about if they were paying attention. I mean, the Kelly for Kids Foundation is huge. The money raised, the money distributed to children's charities in Western New York, huge. They can learn a lot from watching the community support and the charitable endeavor that Jim Kelly and his teammates, his longtime teammates, have set up. A couple of other responses to that tweet. What can the Rex Ryan Bills learn from the Jim Kelly Bills? Jim tweets in, how to get a day off. Good point. They got a day off. One of those precious OTAs. You know, many coaches would never think, many NFL coaches who take all of this pretty seriously, they'd never think of losing one of their 10 OTA days. They'd never think of giving one of them up. Rex Ryan's a little bit different in that regard. Matt Williams tweets in, they can learn that despite being a small market team, the Bills can achieve great things when the pieces are in place. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good point. Justin Westfall tweets in, the importance of their community in Buffalo. Amazing to have Bills new and old get together like that for a good cause. Yeah, that struck me today, too. I talked a little bit with Charles Clay today about that. As a matter of fact, let's hear that interview. I talked with Charles Clay about what Rex Ryan did by bringing the team out there, what it did for the team, and really what it meant to show them what it all means to be out there in the community supporting a good cause as professional athletes.
In the short term, I think it's just trying to build a team camaraderie. Obviously, I feel like this is a very close team. But coming out here and having a chance to hang out and meet a lot of people, meet a lot of past players is a great feeling. So just getting the opportunity to come out, like I said, hang out with your teammates is always a good feeling.
And, you know, you're new to this team, and all of a sudden you come out here and there's Bills Hall of Famers from years past. It's almost like a good introduction to you, to like what the culture is around.
It definitely is. And like I said, getting a chance to meet those guys. I mean, obviously those are the guys who laid the foundation and, you know, made Buffalo Bills football what it is. And being a new guy and coming here and obviously getting a chance to meet them, it's a dream come true. And, you know, I'm just excited to be a part of it.
What do you think Rex is trying to accomplish by doing this and bowling a couple weeks ago? What's he trying to get done with your group?
Obviously, I feel like if you can build a team chemistry as fast as you can, I feel like that's kind of what he's doing. You know, trying to get the team as close as he can, as early as he can. And like I said, I think it's a good thing. Like, this is a great thing to be able to come out here and hang out with our teammates. So.
And the last thing is, today you come out and help support Jim Kelly's charity. So this has like some benefit, positive benefit for the community too.
Yeah, definitely. He's a big part of the Bills community. Obviously, his story is very inspirational, and to be able to have a chance to come out and be a part of this event is a blessing. And I'm, like I said, I'm glad to be a part of it.
Charles Clay, Bills' new tight end. We talked to him this morning at the Jim Kelly Golf Tournament. And he's an example of how things have changed in the NFL. You know, when Kelly's Super Bowl team was here, when the 1990s Bills Super Bowl team was here, there was not the kind of movement and roster volatility that you have now in the NFL. There was a little bit of free agency, a couple of moves, you know, around Plan B. Eventually, Plan B free agency eventually came into place, but not the way it is now. And I think I would argue it's more difficult now to build team chemistry and cohesion and team identity. I would submit that it's much more difficult to do now than it was back in the Super Bowl era for the Buffalo Bills 20, 25 years ago. Back then, you had a core group of veterans who were here, and they were going to stay here with Kelly and Bruce Smith and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed and Steve Tasker and Mark Pike all the way up and down the roster. Not a whole lot of movement. Remember you may not remember if you weren't around then, the upheaval when Will Wolford, the left tackle in the Super Bowl era, got away in Plan B free agency? That was huge. A huge loss. Now we shrug. We anticipate free agent losses. You know, you go into a season thinking this could be, this is probably his last year with his contract. He's a free agent. And it's all over the NFL. Now I submit it's much more difficult to build team cohesion in the NFL because there's so much volatility on the roster and player movement. And that's one thing they could learn. And that's, I think, again, credit Rex Ryan for the inspiration, as Charles Clay points out, not just to begin to build team chemistry, but to get at it quickly because you don't have a lot of time. You don't have a lot of time to wait for team chemistry to build. You've got to make it happen. You know, and Charles Clay, coming here from the Miami Dolphins, said that. His quote, if you can build team chemistry as fast as you can, I think that's what Rex Ryan is doing. He's trying to get the team as close as he can, as early as he can. You know, Rex Ryan knows you can't wait around 4 or 5 years and then we'll have our team culture then. We'll have our veterans in place and everybody will stay. Doesn't happen like that in the NFL anymore, which makes team chemistry, I believe, team bonding, much more important even than it was 20 years ago when Jim Kelly's Super Bowl Bills were together. We'll take your calls on this. Phone line's open, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. What can Rex Ryan's young Bills team learn from the Jim Kelly Bills? What do you think they got? What did they pick up on when they visited the Jim Kelly Golf Tournament out in Batavia today? A couple of tweets. Ken Krause tweets in, if this team can persevere like Jim Kelly did, we will be successful. I'm glad Rex gave the team a day to build camaraderie. And I think that's important. Yeah, that's important to build camaraderie. And as Charles Clay said, build it as quickly as you can. You're not going to, if you wait for 3 or 4 years and hope that things gel, it's not going to happen. You're not going to be around to wait that long. Sports Bros tweets in, what can they learn? They can learn how to win as a team, not as a player. There were some great players, as you know, on that Super Bowl team. Some tremendous players. I mean, look at all the Hall of Famers now. And they learn, sometimes painfully, how to put their egos aside and their personal accomplishments aside and try to win as a team. Orlando Weese tweets in, they can see the drive to be great from these guys. Bob Hughes tweets in, maybe not what they can learn about the game as much as how the Bills family works. Culture. Nearly impossible, I think, to build in the NFL these days. You know, when the last head coach, Doug Marrone, came in a couple of years ago, he talked about changing culture. He talked about, you know, the signs on the wall in the field house and throughout the locker room and the meeting rooms. That was his attempt at changing culture. But it's more than painting signs and sayings and inspirational messages on the wall. And I do, again, credit Rex Ryan for getting that, you know. You don't need signs on the wall. You don't need sayings, you know, on the wall. You need actual time spent, and you need actual togetherness. And I think that's what Rex Ryan tried to do today. Graham Parsons tweets in, always felt those Bills cared deeply for each other. That's a bit lost on today's pros. Care about one another. Yeah, good point. Good point. And maybe that's the main thing that Rex Ryan's Bills could learn from those Super Bowl Bills. They were out there in force. 90 players strong, the entire coaching staff, on a rainy, cold day, watching the Jim Kelly golf tournament get started. They had a little, their own little long drive contest, which didn't go very far. The real golfers on the roster were actually playing in the tournament today, so I didn't see any of them really step up to the tee. But give us your thoughts on that. What could Rex Ryan Bills learn from spending even half a day out there and seeing for themselves what that team was like and how that team is regarded in the community? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. So there was no OTA today for the Bills. There will not be one tomorrow. They are back on the field on Wednesday here at One Bills Drive. They spent one of their OTA days today on the road with that field trip out to Terry Hills Golf Course. So Bills will be working out again Wednesday on the field for an OTA. Many players obviously will be in tomorrow for conditioning work. One player in today after just being claimed off waivers last Friday, Matt Sims, the quarterback, and he's going to be scheduled to be live on the line with us just about 8 or 10 minutes from now. We look forward to that. The Bills claimed Matt Sims on Friday, and to make room, they cut Jeff Toole, and Jeff Toole has landed on his feet. The Jacksonville Jaguars claimed Jeff Toole off waivers from Buffalo, and the Jaguars released rookie Jake Waters, another quarterback. Toole, as you know, played at Washington State, undrafted free agent signee of the Bills in 2013, where he started one of the two games he played in 2013, the Kansas City game, spent last season on the Bills practice squad. Of course, Jaguars assistant head coach and the offensive line coach Doug Marrone is in Jacksonville now, and Jeff Toole has familiarity with Jaguars quarterbacks coach Nathaniel Hackett. Nathaniel Hackett here is the offensive coordinator. So Jeff Toole lands on his feet with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have four quarterbacks on the roster. They have their starter, Blake Bortles. They have backup, Chad Henne, the 8-year veteran. And they have first-year veteran Stephen Morris and now Jeff Toole in the quarterback mix for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Speaking of quarterbacks, Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers close to finalizing a long-term deal, according to multiple sources. Newton, the first pick of the 2011 draft in the final year of his rookie contract. The deal could be done later today, likely to run through the 2020 season. Carolina exercised the fifth-year option on the deal last year. So Newton currently set to make $14.6 million this year before the extension. They obviously want to get his cap number down and make it more cap-friendly. Newton's attorneys, his agents, have been looking for a contract with a lot of guaranteed money and not tied to injuries or other clauses. Obviously, they'll use the Ryan Tannehill contract as a benchmark. Tannehill, eighth overall pick in 2012, just got a four-year extension worth $77 million in new money with $21.5 guaranteed. Cam Newton looking for almost half of his money to be guaranteed. Nothing official yet, but that is the report that Cam Newton and the Panthers closing in on a long-term deal. On the show tonight, we're going to talk Bills football. We want to talk with you about the move today. Rex Ryan taking his team out to Terry Hills Country Club for the Jim Kelly Golf Tournament. Let us know what you think of that and what this Bills team could learn from the Super Bowl Bills. Give us a call. The phone line's open, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call at 1-888-550-2550. You can join us via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Coming up later, more sound from the Kelly Golf Tournament. That's coming up a little bit later on in the show. We will hear from quarterback Jim Kelly and some of the others who are out there today, including Rex Ryan. That's coming up later in the show. Next hour, Anthony Lynn, the assistant head coach and the running backs coach for the Buffalo Bills. We will talk with him coming up next hour. But coming up next, we're scheduled to be joined by Matt Sims, quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, just claimed off waivers last Friday. Matt, Thursday or Friday? I got my days. I think it was Friday. Yeah, Matt Sims is going to join us coming up next on the show. He spent the whole day in a crash course of the Greg Roman Buffalo Bills offense. Hopefully he's got a couple of minutes for us. That's coming up next. We're underway here at One Bills Drive on the air until 9 o'clock tonight. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh.
Hotline opened up to the newest member of the Buffalo Bills, and he joins us on the line right now. Quarterback Matt Sims claimed off waivers last Friday. On the line with us now. Matt, thank you very much. I know you've had a busy, probably whirlwind day. We really appreciate you taking a few minutes to be with us tonight.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me on the show, John. I appreciate it.
Got to tell you, I've always been a fan of your dad and your brother, Chris, who's been a good friend of our show over the years. He's a great radio guest and a really good broadcaster.
Yeah, well, that's one thing that, my father and my brother do well, and that's talk. So that's one thing that they specialize in nowadays.
Hey, Matt, tell me the process here. It was reported that you went into the Jets and asked to be released. Was that just last week when that went down?
Yeah, that was actually Thursday morning. I went into Coach Topol's office at 6:15 in the morning, and we had a one-on-one talk. And towards the end of that conversation, that's where I asked him if I could possibly be released. It was about as cut and dry as that. You know, we had a brief, 10-15-minute discussion, in which case, we just kind of talked the details of the situation and he handled it great, and I appreciate, the way that he did handle it and talk to me like that and, respecting just kind of how I felt about my decision there, and it all worked out for the best.
Yeah, it sure did. Is that something since, the draft weekend when they drafted Bryce Petty, was that kind of in the back of your mind a little bit, or did you want to see how it would play out?
Well, you never want to just, think that there's something that's just set in stone right away, so I wanted to see how it would play out. But as it began to play out, I could clearly see that I wasn't in the plan, for them to actually compete and actually get a chance to be the starting quarterback there. So which was kind of upsetting, but at the same time, I took it upon myself to make that decision and asked to be released at this point in the year just so I could catch on someplace else and kind of get a head start rather than being in trouble later in camp and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, People say that, but it's really true, right? If you're on the last cutdown on August 30th or something, your chances of getting picked up are probably not real strong at that point, right?
Well, it's always a difficult situation, especially for quarterbacks, because for quarterbacks, half of our job really is just being mentally prepared, mentally knowing the offense, the coach is feeling comfortable around you, and when you're coming off the streets from another team, you're kind of put at a disadvantage because most of our game is mental. So I kind of took it upon myself again to just kind of take a different approach. I could kind of see that Coach Daly was going to, kind of put me in a hindering position with taking reps away from me. And I kind of decided that, maybe it would be best for me and best for everybody else in the Jets organization as well if we just all move on together at the same time.
And, man, as I look over, like, where you've been the last few years, you kind of went through that just 3 years ago, 2012, right? You were released at the final cutdown, it looks like, and then didn't get picked up until the end of that year, right? In 2012, you were basically on the beach for that entire season, huh?
Basically, yeah. I spent pretty much that whole year just kind of coaching high school quarterbacks in the area around me. But that was a whole different situation. That was the Mark Sanchez, Tim Tebow era, which was a whole nother animal. So that year, I kind of knew that I was more of a camp arm.
Yeah.
Whereas, these past 2 years, I've kind of shown, myself and my fellow peers and coaches around the league that, I do have talent. I have talent to grow on, and really all I need now is just an experience, to get my chance out there and to play some football.
Well, you got a chance to play the following year, 2013, including, I guess, mop-up duty in a game up here in Buffalo against the Bills. What do you remember about that game? You threw your first career touchdown up here, right?
I did, which, actually just makes it all the more special now that I am a Buffalo Bill. I remember it being cold and windy, and remembering that I was so excited to get in there and play because I just feel like I'm a quarterback that can really throw it through the wind and throw it in these bad environment places and succeed. I think guys like myself, who have strong arms that just can rip it in there. We like to throw in these bad weather environments, and at the time it was Penn on the defensive side of the ball too, so. Yeah. I was somewhat familiar with his defense just from being around Rex, and I was just so excited to actually get out there and just get a taste of, NFL football, especially because, Buffalo's defense has always been pretty stacked, these past few years. So,
I wonder, Matt, if when you got off the plane last night or this morning, you might have thought to yourself, hey, this is the way it was that day I played up here. It was cold and windy that day, too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the only difference was that it wasn't in June,
Yeah, so, it wasn't June 1st.
That was a little strange, but, it still worked out well for me. I love this kind of weather, so this is football weather to me.
We're with Matt Sims, the new quarterback on the Buffalo Bills roster. He joined us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Matt, tell us a little bit about growing up the son of a famous NFL quarterback. Was there pressure, or did you like that? Did you enjoy the access that came along with that?
Early on, since I was only five when my father retired, I really didn't grow up, underneath, just his shadow as much. I kind of was the kid that just, people would come up and be like, hey, I really loved your father. I'm a huge fan of him. I'd be like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't know. I wasn't sure at the time. So I really kind of grew up and was raised, watching the game through my brother. And, obviously as I got older and I started to realize that my father was, a pretty decent football player, that there was a little bit more added pressure to succeed and do well. But, that type of pressure, all it does is just make you work harder and try and accomplish your own feats and become your own man on the football field. And, although at times, in Pee Wee football and in high school football, there were some guys taking extra shots at me and, all that stuff. But it was all worth it because it just made me a stronger man. And, I'm the one that ended up making it in the end. So that's all that matters. It's just I fought through the good fight, and now here I am, Buffalo Bills. So life can't get any better.
Your college career, Matt, you started at Louisville, right? And then transferred, went to a JUCO, and then finally wound up at Tennessee. Is that how it went?
Yeah, I was quite the journeyman in college.
Yeah.
For some reason, college football just did not go well for me. I didn't have, like, the perfect, 3 or 4 year career that some of these guys have at these other schools. Hey, once again, you know, that's life. You know, things aren't going to go as you plan always. And, you know, those experiences, those tough times, you know, have really, you know, shaped me into the man that I am today. And, you know, I'm quite thankful for those experiences and those tough times. Although fans don't really, you know, they can't really, I guess, appreciate my career because they couldn't follow me, you know, like a fan, like they would Johnny Manziel or whatnot, you know, where they saw all these great games that he had. But nonetheless, you know, like I said, still here, you know, still fighting the good fight, you know, still enjoying the game for what it is, and, you know, truly blessed for that.
When I look at your resume, Matt, and hear you talk like that, it sounds like everything you've gotten in your football career, you've really had to kind of scratch and claw for, whether it's, you know, transferring to Tennessee or sticking it out with the Jets, you know, as you said, coaching high school football 1 year after getting released by the Jets. Nobody, despite your famous name and your pedigree, no one's ever handed you anything, really, in football at all, huh?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, looking back at it, too, just, you know, with my career, you know, I wouldn't have had it any other way, you know, just because, you know, those trying times have made me a better person, made me a more humble person. And, you know, I'm truly grateful for all those experiences because it's just going to make me a better man, you know, for the future, you know, when I am a father for my family and stuff like that. And I'll have, you know, all those background moments, you know, to help, you know, mentor, you know, other people around me. And, you know, truly humble experience. And, you know, luckily I have a strong family behind me that have been super supportive of me. You know, my mother, my father, my brother and sister, you know, couldn't ask for anything more than that. So, you know, although this game is extremely torturing at times and tough, you know, that's what makes the game great as well.
Hey, Matt, you come up here to Buffalo and you might feel that you're surrounded by some familiar faces. Someone told me you have like a family connection with Chris Hogan, Bills receiver Chris Hogan.
Well, we actually grew up in the town next to each other.
Okay.
So he's from Wyckoff, New Jersey, and I'm from Franklin Lake. And both those towns connect into the same high school.
I see.
Although I did not go to the same high school. I went to Don Bosco Prep, and he went to Ramapo, the public school. We've always been kind of, you know, around each other, you know, training in the off season together, throwing with each other. And, you know, it's just kind of funny how this the small world, you know, here we are, a teammate together in Buffalo in the NFL. So.
Yeah, and you come up here to Buffalo and you look in the coach's room and you got David Lee, your quarterback's coach the last couple of years with the Jets, now up here. I assume you spent much of your day with David Lee, huh?
I did, yeah. I spent a lot of time with David today, so probably more than I wanted to my first day here, but at the same time was really happy to see some familiar faces. And, you know, just speaks volume to me as a player and as a person, too, that, you know, Rex and the rest of the Bills organization will go out there and claim me the way that they did. And, you know, hey, it makes me feel all the more welcome and just that much more excited to learn and get ready and, you know, to beat the Jets this upcoming season.
That sounds good. And I know you had a long day in the meeting room. We don't want to keep you any longer. Matt, congratulations. We're happy to have you. And thanks for carving out a few minutes to be with us on the show tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me, and looking forward to the season, and go Bills.
All right. Matt Sims, new quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. Sounds pretty enthusiastic, pretty eager to beat the Jets. All right. He's got one circled, at least. He's got the October 4th circled on the calendar. Matt Sims, claimed off waivers by the Buffalo Bills, joined us via the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. More to come. We'd like to hear from you, your thoughts on what today's Buffalo Bills could learn from the Super Bowl Bills, the Jim Kelly Bills. As you know, the Bills' entire team went out to Kelly's golf tournament in Batavia today. Got a chance to mix and mingle with some of the greats from Bills' years gone by. Let us know what you think of that and what the benefit was for the current Buffalo Bills. 803-0550, the number to call. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call, 1-888-550-2550. We're rolling along. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Matt Sims sounds eager to get to work, doesn't he? Eager to play the Jets. Anyway, good for him. But that's a long day. I mean, to come in here, and I'm sure he spent the entire day in the meeting room trying to catch up on the offense. Just added to the roster last Friday, and coaching staff sat down with him today, and I think tomorrow he should have another day to do that and then get on the field and see what he's got on Wednesday when the OTAs continue. The Bills spent their OTA day today at the Jim Kelly Golf Tournament out of Batavia. We were out there in the morning, and it was quite a sight to see those 90 players huddled around the tee box on number one, watching some of their teammates tee off. And maybe the best sight of the day was towards the end of the Bills' visit, the current Bills' visit, when Kelly basically gathered the entire 2015 Bills roster around him on number one tee there and basically talked about what it means to be a Buffalo Bill and what it meant for him to have him out there. We want to know from you tonight, what do you think of that move by Rex Ryan? I think it's inspired. I think it's a way to quickly inculcate these players into Buffalo Bills culture. That's right, Jay Thurman. Look it up. Inculcate. That's a word. I think it's... I'm sorry. Why do I
believe
you. You know why I pick on you? Because you're the only one here. That's it. Inculcate.
I was just going to say, you're right. You look to your left, there's no one
there's
around.
No one over
you
here.
Look
I look
right.
To my, there you
it's
are.
It's an easy target.
Inculcate.
But I have glass that separates me, so you can only
you're
take
lucky.
It so far. I am lucky.
But no, it's a way for him, Rex Ryan, to quickly get these players up to speed on where they're playing, who they're playing with, what's the community like, how are players dealt with in the community, how are they handled in the community. I think it was inspired by Rex Ryan today. What do you think? What can these Bills learn from that visit to Jim Kelly's golf tournament today? What should they take from it? 803-0550, the number. Outside Buffalo, toll-free call 1-888-550-2550. Here's a call from Steve in Lancaster. Hi, Steve. What do you think of that move by Rex Ryan today?
I think it's great, but first, John, if that's not a word, it should be because of the words they are allowing into the Webster Dictionary nowadays. It sounds pretty authentic to me, and oh, yeah. I'm a voter for that word.
All right, I'm going to look it up, but go ahead. I'm sure great. It's a word.
Yeah, I think it's just a great move. I myself worked in construction for almost 40 years and would implement that on a particular job and say, on Friday, boys, we're going to the nearest watering hole. I don't care if you stay 10 minutes, 2 hours, or whatever. You drink pop or whatever you want to do, but we're going to go there. We're going to toast each other. We're going to get to know each other. Monday's a clear slate. And what it gives you the opportunity to do is get to know somebody that you may not know, be able to get to know at work as much because you've got to be focused on the job at hand. You got a little time for conversations, but not like you do socially. So therefore, a guy you may not understand and know what's going on in his background, you may get along with easier because you found some things out about him on a social thing, which mm-hmm. translates onto the field. And I can't speak enough about doing what he did and how many people don't get that. It's such an easy thing to do to realize it. And I just think it's great.
Yeah. And Steve, to not only to get his group together, which, you know, he did a couple of weeks ago, Rex Ryan did when he took him bowling, but to take him to a place where there were all these Bills alumni and highly accomplished alumni, you know, a handful of Hall of Famers, as a matter of fact, there. Some of that culture, some of that feeling about what it means to be a Buffalo Bill, I would think has to rub off on those current players, wouldn't you?
Oh, my, without a doubt it does. And that particular team had that same feeling and camaraderie with the parties they would have after the games that mm-hmm. they get together at Jim Kelly's house and create that same sort of bond. And, you know, Jim and the boys can, you know, translate that into it also. And, you know, as you alluded to, John, just to be able to be around those guys in that social atmosphere, see their human beings, and then have them translate that positive image to these younger players.
Yeah.
Just insurmountable.
You're right, Steve. Thanks for calling. The phone line's open at 803-0550 or outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. And as I mentioned, you don't have a lot of time to develop team chemistry. You know, maybe that's why some coaches paint slogans on the wall and put up inspirational sayings on the wall. Okay, but there's got to be more to it than that. And I think Rex Ryan innately realizes that there's more to it than painting slogans on the wall, that let's do some proactive things to get these guys to work together, to indoctrinate the culture to these guys, inculcate. And I did look it up, Steve. Inculcate, instill an attitude, idea, or habit by persistent instruction. Inculcate. That's a word. I know. No, you didn't doubt me. I know. Thank you. But I think that's a lot of what Rex Ryan had in mind today when he took those players out to Terry Hills. You know, I think he thought, hey, here's a place where there's going to be several Hall of Famers, where Jim Kelly, by the way, would always appreciate having that kind of support for his charitable endeavors. And I think he thought, why not? Let's do it. Here's a call from John in Buffalo. John, go ahead. You're on the air. What do you think of that move by Rex Ryan today, John?
I think it was awesome. I've been a season ticket holder for 28 years. He hasn't won a game, but I'll tell you what, he's won my heart over.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets it. Rex Ryan gets it. Several people said that. In fact, trying to think which play. Oh, it was Kelly himself who said, and we're going to hear Kelly's comments next hour. Kelly himself said he gets it. Rex Ryan gets it. He gets Buffalo. He gets what the players of today, whether it's Jets or Buffalo Bills, he gets what the players today respond to, what they need from a head coach. Is he the greatest head coach in the NFL? Probably not. But I think in an age where players move around a lot, in an age where players are easily distracted and distracted by money and other distractions, I think Rex Ryan has a way of kind of breaking through the clutter and getting players to respond to what he's trying to get across. Will it translate to wins and losses? I don't know. But I do think his enthusiasm and his effort to build the culture and harken back to the old culture here, I think that goes a long way towards getting these players to respond. It's a tough job coaching in the NFL. It is it's probably one of the most difficult things in sports, being a head coach in the NFL. I really believe that. All right, we're going to talk more about this in the next hour. The phone lines will be open. If you'd like to ring us up now, we'll keep you on hold for a minute or two. 803-0550, the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. What did today's Buffalo Bills learn about the Bills, about the NFL, from their visit to Jim Kelly's golf tournament today? Give us a call. Let us know what you think about that. We're going to hear some of the comments from the golf tournament today. That's coming up next hour. And Anthony Lynn, Bill's running backs coach and assistant head coach, will join us. He was out there today as well. So another hour to go. Come on back for more of the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Let's go! Let's go!
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Keep spilling your blood for one another. Let's go get it now. Let's go. Bills on three. One, two, three. Bills.
Safety. 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 Unbelievable.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, the official convenience store of the Buffalo Bills.
Hour two of the show. If you just joined us, you missed a pretty good time with Matt Sims, Bill's new quarterback, just signed to the roster, claimed off waivers last Friday. And if you miss it, you can always catch up on our website, buffalobills.com. Up on the website right now, sort of a video piece, not sort of, it is a video piece on the Jim Kelly Golf Tournament today at Terry Hills Country Club in Batavia. We were out there today. Want to talk with you about that a little bit, and you know by now, Rex Ryan took the entire 2015 Buffalo Bills roster, 90 players strong. The coaching staff took them all out to Terry Hills bright and early this morning in lieu of today's organized team activity. So they basically surrendered one of their OTA sessions. They only get 10 as mandated by the collective bargaining agreement. They gave it up to head out to Terry Hills, 45-minute bus ride each way, and hang around the Bills, the old Bills, the Super Bowl Bills, the Jim Kelly Bills at the Kelly Golf Tournament to benefit Kelly for Kids Foundation. What do you think of that? What do you think of that move by Rex Ryan? There are coaches in the NFL who would never, ever, ever give up one of their precious 10 OTAs to do something like that. Rex Ryan did it in the interest of team building, camaraderie, all of the above reasons. It's a charitable endeavor, helping out the Kelly for Kids Foundation. I mean, when the roster rolls up on the bus, you got to believe that adds some value to the sponsorship that Jim Kelly and his group have put together, and the golfers who have committed some pretty big sums of money to play in that golf tournament. They did it for team building, camaraderie. But I think more than that, I think Rex Ryan, I give him a lot of credit for having a sense of what this team needs in terms of identity and what they need in terms of the culture that he wants to build here. I think that was a lot of what Rex Ryan was trying to do by taking that team out there. What do you think of that move by Rex Ryan? What do you think this Bills team could learn from the Super Bowl Bills of the 1990s, from the Jim Kelly Bills. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, it's 1-888-550-2550. A lot of people have been chiming in via Twitter at John Murphy Show. We're going to talk with running backs coach Anthony Lynn about that in a few minutes. He'll join us in studio. We'll talk with him also about the Bills running back situation. Call here from Randy in Rochester. Welcome to the show, Randy. What do you think of that Rex Ryan move today?
Well, I'm trying to be brief as possible. Just real quick, I want to tell you, I enjoy your knowledge of this team. You're unbiased. You make this team built up no matter how bad they are through the years, and I appreciate that.
All right.
I don't think it's as important as what the players learned as by what Rex Ryan showed. He showed that he now has the respect and the power that he didn't have the last 2 years in New York. He was a sitting duck there.
Yeah, I think he would. He would probably admit that he. He has talked about it. In fact, I would refer you to an outstanding article that Albert Breer wrote on NFL.com. I'm certain you can access it still. Albert was on our show last Wednesday, and the story went up, posted last Thursday, about Rex Ryan, what he learned from his tenure with the Jets, the last few years especially, and how he's determined to make it right here in Buffalo. And I would any Bills fan should look for that on NFL.com, Albert Breer story about Rex Ryan. What'd you say, Randy? Do you have something else to add?
Yeah, do you remember the bickering Bills?
Yeah, I do. Do you?
Not only do I remember it, but I was one of the few people that said it was a good thing that it happened because people are either going to get moved or grow together with them stupid egos.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. And they learned from it. There's no question about that. It was ugly when it was going on. And when you talk about remembering it, the principals were all out there slapping each other on the back at Terry Hill's today in Batavia. You know, Thurman is there. Bruce Smith is there. Jim Kelly is there. They're all there. Here we are 25 years later, the bickering Bills, 26 years later, right? And they're still friends. They're still together. And they accomplished a lot after that bad episode in 1989. I mean, four straight Super Bowls, many of them in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They accomplished an awful lot after that incident. So it was painful while it went on. It threatened to tear the team apart. I remember it vividly. I was working at Channel 7 then in 1989. It was a big story. Players publicly calling each other out, challenging each other. Thurman coming to the defense of House Ballard publicly. And then he and Kelly, you know, appearing before the cameras the next day or 2 days later to apologize for the whole episode. It was ugly in 1989. But they weathered the storm, were better for it. Not to say that you need that now. By the way, and I've said this a couple times, I think it's more difficult now to build any kind of team chemistry because the rosters are so volatile. Players are moving around so quickly, not to mention coaches moving around after 2 or 3 years in most cases. And so if you're going to build team chemistry, if you're going to create some cohesion and get players to have an identity, you better hurry and do it. And as Charles Clay pointed out to us when we talked to him today, Rex Ryan took him out there today in an effort to build that sort of chemistry as quickly as he can. Chase calling from Orchard Park. Welcome to the show, Chase. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for having me. Sure. I actually think this is a fantastic move. Some think it's kind of unorthodox and not traditional, and we should just focus on having OTAs. But I don't know. Some teams build gridiron football. Some teams build just tradition. But I really think Rex Ryan's building a family here, and doing this allows we have a brand new team, so many new additions that we need them to come together. They get to meet the legends of the team, understand the traditions we have in Buffalo, and just get a better understanding and with one another.
Yeah, and a crash course really on what it means to be a Buffalo Bill, you know, and they don't have time to spend a lot of time on it.
Definitely, not at all. And I feel like getting to meet Jim Kelly, Bruce, and all those guys in person, they can show what it means to be a Bill and recognize why we've been such a great, tight franchise for all this time.
All right. Chase, thanks. Yep. Thanks for calling. We're talking to fans about Rex Ryan's move today to take his team out to Terry Hills and to have them mix and mingle with the Bills alumni at the Jim Kelly Golf Tournament. What do you think of that? What could this team learn from that group? from 25 years ago. How much? I wonder how familiar they are. I mean, we mentioned this in the first hour. I witnessed personally Matt Cassel talking to Fred Smirlus about his picture being up on the walls of the AdPro Sports Fieldhouse, the training center. But to many, you know, there are fans walking around there who recognize, hey, there's Kurt Schultz, there's Joe Cribbs, there's Fred Smirlus, there's Jim Richard, there's John Davis. If you're a 23, 24, 25-year-old current Bills player, you don't know those names. And you don't certainly would not be expected to recognize them. So to see those two groups interact as much as they could this morning at Terry Hills or last night at the gala, I think goes a long way. And that's the sort of thing that Rex Ryan was attempting to facilitate today. Give us your thoughts on that. 803-0550, the number. Toll free from outside Buffalo, it is 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Your thoughts on Rex Ryan's move to take the team out to Terry Hills. It was a different atmosphere this year at the Kelly Golf Tournament, mostly because Jim Kelly was there. A year ago, he was not. And it was, as we said in the last hour, a pall over the entire weekend a year ago with Jim Kelly in the hospital, still in the throes of his pretty serious cancer treatment. And I had a chance to talk briefly with Chris Berman, ESPN Chris Berman, who has been around this tournament for a long time. And I asked him about the vibe around the Kelly tournament this year and around the gala last night at the Adams Mark Hotel.
The end of the evening, Bobby Greco's band played We Are Family. It's the last song of the night. And all the Kellys, obviously Jill and Aaron and Jim, but all the brothers and their wives were up on stage. I almost teared up, you know, because that's what I'll take from this one. I had to remind myself a week ago, that's right, Jim wasn't here last year. I mean, duh, when I thought about it. Matter of fact, it was on this day I went to the hospital, saw him, and then interviewed Aaron for Father's Day. And we didn't know what was going to happen. There's so much love. I know it seems cold out that winter has returned. There's a lot of warmth for this tournament, as much as we've ever had, and it's pretty cool.
A lot of warmth, and it's pretty cool. Chris Berman succinctly puts it that way. But I think he's onto something there. I think that was the vibe of the Kelly tournament this year. With Jim there on hand, energetic as he was, making his way all around the golf tournament this morning and all around the gala at the Adams Mark last night. I mean, it was clear that Jim is back and back strong and healthy and ready to go on. He talked today about this being the 29th Kelly Celebrity Golf Tournament. He said, yeah, let's keep doing this. Let's get to the 50th. He didn't talk about the 30th. He said, let's get to the 50th. So that was important. And the fact that Rex Ryan took that team, this team, the 2015 Bills, out to the Kelly Tournament today, I thought that will long be remembered as the hallmark of this year's Kelly Tournament.
And now, Subway Fresh Takes. Subway, eat fresh.
Joining us in studio, we're with the Bills assistant head coach, running backs coach, Anthony Lynn. Coach, thanks very much for coming by here. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
You and the team, actually, the entire team, spent the morning out at Jim Kelly's golf tournament out at Terry Hills in Batavia. What a great idea to get the whole group out there.
It was. We took one of our OTA practices. We thought it was worth it to take the bus down and be a part of Jim's event. You know, he does a great job of raising money for the children, and we just want to be a part of it.
You actually played in the league when Jim was in the league, right? You were the Denver Broncos a little bit, I think, when Jim was playing or no?
Yeah. I was in the league when Jim was playing right at the end.
There must have been some guys, some of Kelly's former teammates that you remember from your days playing in the NFL, huh?
Yeah, some of those guys showed up today. Bruce Smith, you know, and of course Jim and Thurman was out there. I actually played with Andre in Denver his last year or so.
So you knew some of those guys. You know, I was out there this morning, and when you get that group together, there's a certain bond that they have, and I wonder if it's like that in most NFL cities, that group that went to four Super Bowls together, and here they are 20 years, 25 years after they played, still getting together every year for a mini reunion like that.
You know, you do have those bonds on teams. You know, guys play together for so many years, but I do think the bond here between those guys is pretty special from what I've seen so far. You know, Jim lives here, Thurman lives here, you know, and Andre's back all the time, And it just seems like they're really, really close. And it's neat to see and watch.
It's got to be good for your young players on this current Buffalo roster to see that, too, to get a sense of kind of the culture of the team, of the franchise, huh?
It really is, because when you see those type of relationships, then you understand that football, at the end of the day, it is a relationship business. And it's usually those teams that develop the best chemistry in the offseason you know, usually go on and win the Lombardi Trophy.
You've been with Rex Ryan for, what, 6 or 7 years? He clearly places a premium on chemistry when you think about what he's done over the last few weeks, a bowling trip a couple of weeks ago and a trip to Kelly's tournament today, huh?
Yes, I mean, that's just part of Rex's philosophy and his belief. You know, he wants to bring his team together in all season, spend time together, not just here in the building, but also outside the building, and get to know your players that way as well.
Some coaches covet their OTA time. They would never think about losing any practice time that they're given by the CBA. And Rex clearly is not like that. Huh?
No. Rex, he thinks outside of the box. Sometimes he's a little unorthodox, but I think he's right on target.
Anthony Lynn, our guest, the Bills assistant head coach, running backs coach. I want to ask you about the running back group, but as the assistant head coach, the same title you had with the New York Jets, what are some of the additional responsibilities? What do you do as an assistant head coach?
Well, you know, Rex and I, we visit a lot about our schedule and meetings, personnel things, and sometimes I may fill in for him at a, not necessarily one of his press conferences, but one of his shows, you know, if he gets tied up or whatnot. So just whatever you ask me to do, you know, I just try to make his life easier.
It has put you in position to be considered a head coaching candidate. In fact, you interviewed for the head coaching vacancy when Rex left the New York Jets in January, huh?
Yeah, that's not one that I wanted to interview for, but, you know, the opportunity was presented, and I took advantage of the experience. And it was a good experience, I'll say that.
Do you see yourself as a head coach fairly soon in the NFL? What's your career aspirations?
You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I wish I did. But, you know, yeah, I would love to, you know, follow Rex's footsteps one day and lead a team.
We're with Anthony Lynn, assistant head coach, running backs coach. Your running back group, pretty talented, very talented, actually, and got a major shot of talent when the deal came down, the trade for LeSean McCoy back in March. Tell me what how that came about from your perspective. We've heard the story of a late afternoon phone call, but what was that like from your perspective?
You know, I was away reading a book. We were in personnel meetings, and we talked about every position, and I was away reading a book. We were in Florida with the owners, and they came around and they said, "Hey, Terry, need to speak to you about something." And he goes, "If you had a back in this league you wanted, who would that be?" And I said, "I don't know. I mean, Adrian Peterson, Shady. Well, what are we getting at here?" And he goes, "You got it."
Pretty good.
So it went down kind of fast. You know, it was like 20, 25 minutes. Trey was done. But, you know, that was a heck of an addition to our backfield right there.
He missed a little time last week with the little neck thing, but what's been your impression of him through the workouts that you've had so far?
You know, he's been great. He's lost some weight. He's quick. You know, his reads are well in the run game. He's picking the system up fine. You know, he had a little neck issue last week, but that's no big deal this time of year. During the season, it's definitely something that you can play with. But we just gave him the time off. But he's doing well.
There's a lot of speculation. People talked about a drop-off from 2013 to 2014, and his drop-off year, he still puts up incredible numbers. Where is he in his career in terms of the workload you can give him and what he does best at this point in his career?
You know, I think he's right in the prime right now. You know, numbers-wise, stats can be fickle, you know. Yeah. Sure, they dropped off, but maybe people caught on to what they were doing. So, you know, in our runs game, in our system, and in our pass game as well, we're going to utilize him in space. We're going to use a lot of different blocking schemes. We're going to have him. He's a back that can hit every single hole. So, you know, we can leave him on the field all three downs, and we're going to use him to where he needs to be used.
You have Fred Jackson, age 34, who's coming off a productive year, but I've heard you say that you'd like to reduce his touches, maybe reduce just to preserve him a little bit longer. Huh?
Well, yeah, exactly. I want to just preserve him a little longer. I want him to, you know, he had over 500 snaps last year. I just want to get him a little more rested so he can be quicker, a little more explosive. And I think Fred still has, you know, some good years left in him. He's done a heck of a job of taking care of himself. He's one of the better pros I've ever been around. He's sharp. His blitz pickup is outstanding. So, yeah, I look forward to working with Fred, and I think he's going to have a heck of a season.
You had Bryce Brown on the field last week for a couple of workouts, first time that you've really got a look at him. What are your thoughts on him, and how could he help this team?
It was tough because Bryce has missed so much time that, you know, you could tell he was thinking his way through practice. And so once he learns the system and he can play fast and think on his feet, then you can see his real potential. But right now, he just got to stay in the playbook. He's just got to learn the system.
Coach, you have Jerome Felton. You have John Connor. You have Carlos Williams. What are you going to do with all these guys?
Hey, man. I think I have
Boobie. You got Boobie Dixon.
Two of the better fullbacks in the game. and a young pup on the runway, and Booby Dixon's a heck of a role player and teammate. So, you know, I'm excited about the backfield that we have.
Is it the type of offense that will have a lot of two-back sets, do you think, as you start to put this thing together? Will you have a fullback in there a lot?
You know, we will utilize a fullback, and, you know, we also like to use a tight end. So I think it'll be game plan specific. So we'll see what happens.
I'm not going to ask you if it's a problem. Somebody asked, I think, Greg Roman, if it's a problem to have all that talent and really some versatile players on the offensive side of the ball. But it's got to make for some long sessions of strategizing, to putting together a playbook to think, we've got him, he can do this. We've got him, he can do this. You've got a lot of complementary pieces here that you can really be challenged to use effectively.
Trust me, that's not a problem at all.
Not a problem, I get that.
We will figure that one out. But we do have some pieces, you know, and we like to get the ball in the hands of, you know, some of these backs and Percy Harvin and, you know, and Sammy. And, you know, we have some weapons in our tight end Clay. So that's a good problem to have.
Anthony Lynn, Bills assistant head coach, running backs coach, our guest. You played, as we said, in the league and played on some Super Bowl championship teams with the Denver Broncos. What was that experience like for you?
I'll tell you what, it was great. You know, those were great teams, not necessarily the most talented teams, but just great teams. Won a lot of games in those, in that six-year period there in Denver, and like you said, a couple championships, and it was great.
Did you have your eye on a coaching career while you were playing?
You know, I did, because growing up, coaches were always like father figures to me. I really thought I'd go back and start on high school level and work with some young kids and youth. But when I retired, Coach Shanahan was already grooming me to coach, and I just didn't know that he was going to offer me a contract 2 weeks after I retired.
Wow.
And so I couldn't turn that down. I had to take that opportunity.
What was that job? A quality control job?
Well, it was quality control and assistant special teams coach.
What a great opportunity, huh? Right out of the field?
It was a heck of an opportunity, and I appreciate him so much for that. But he saw that in me, you know, early on in my young NFL career, and I'm glad he did, because I wouldn't be here today without him.
You had the experience of working for another of the all-time greats, Bill Parcells and the Cowboys. What was that like?
You know, that was like going to Harvard for 2 years. You know, I was only with him for two. That's about all I could take. But
was he demanding? Is that what you're saying?
He's one of the most demanding coaches I've ever been around, but he's also one of the best I've ever been around. And I learned a lot of football underneath him in a short period of time.
What made him one of the best you've been around?
You know, I just think his situational football. He's just one of the best at that. His preparation of his teams are always going to be prepared. They're never going to beat themselves. And he's going to get the most out of what he has.
And how did his demanding nature manifest itself for the coaching staff? I mean, did you feel like, you know, you're going to be like Harvard, like you're going to be called on a pop quiz in any moment, you know, or what was it like?
He had a psychology major, so you never knew where you stood with the man.
Yeah. What do they call that? Creative tension, I guess. Right?
Exactly.
For both coaches and players, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, not so much players, but definitely coaches. You know, I don't know a player today that don't like him. They just love him, you know, and stay in constant contact with him, you know. But he just that way. He was demanding on his coaches, but his players loved him for it.
Anthony, we talked about, you mentioned Shanahan, you mentioned Bill Parcells. Are there any other coaches that you thought kind of helped form you into the football guy that you are today, the coach that you are today? Anybody you look back on and say, I learned a lot from that guy?
You know, it's so many coaches. My high school coach, Joe Stubblefield, my college coach, Spike Dykes, Dick Windham, offense coordinator. But the coach I'm under right now, Rex Ryan, for the last 6 years, he's been absolutely unbelievable. And just watching him grow as a coach in his second job and learning underneath him, that's been fantastic for me.
People on the outside, including me, see him with a smile on his face and see all the enthusiasm and the good-natured personality that he has. Do we overlook maybe the X's and O's part of Rex Ryan? Does he must have something going for him, especially on the defensive side.
Huh? I hope you overlook it, because we may stick up on you. But, you know, his X's and O's is unbelievable. He's the best defensive guy I've ever been around. And that's why I joined his staff 6 years ago. I was in Cleveland when he was in Baltimore, and I said, man, this is the best I've ever seen. So when I got a chance to go work with him, I did. But he is sharp as a tack, very demanding, he's organized, he knows what he wants, and he can deliver the message and say the right thing at the right time. He's unbelievable. He has an it factor when it comes to that.
What is that? How does he relate to the players so well?
You know, he's authentic. Yeah. You know, I tell people all the time, Rex never got that memo on how to be a head coach. He's just himself.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best form of leadership, is just be yourself and be authentic.
I think you're one of nine Rex coaches from the Jets who came up here to Buffalo, and one of the few guys, you and I guess Sperano, on the offensive side of the ball. Did you feel like you were on the outside with all those defensive guys coming up here?
Well, you always feel like you're on the outside.
Yeah.
He's a defensive guy, but no, I didn't. You know, Rex told me that you know, if he got a job, I'd have an opportunity to come with him, so I knew that.
And you're working closely with Greg Roman now. Tell me about that, what you've picked up from him over a couple of months here.
You know, this is my first time working with Greg, and I just know that Greg was one of the most sought-after offensive coordinators on the market, and so he did a hell of a job there in San Francisco. I'm excited to be working with him and learning underneath him and just picking things up from him every single day, just little details here and there.
Anthony, everybody's getting excited about ground and pound for this Buffalo offense this year, which is right up your alley, right? It's exactly what you'd like to hear, I guess.
You know, ground and pound is just winning football games. You know, it just means that you are committed to running the football. It doesn't mean you want to run the football 50 times a game.
Okay.
You're just committed to running the football for four quarters. That's what we were in Denver. You know, we won more games in 6 years than any team in NFL history. It was the ground and pound mentality because we were committed to running the football, but we will throw the football to beat you. If you want to take the run away and give us, we'll take that, you know, but we're going to be committed to running. And I think when you play in the Northeast, you have to be.
Why, when everybody talks about the NFL as a passing game, why is it important to commit to the run, to be ready to run that,
you know,
many
because
times?
Because if you can run the football on a defense, there's nothing you can't do to that defense. You know, the run action is working, the play action is working, the movement is working. You know, if you can run the football. If you can't run the football, man, they can pin their ears back and they can come and get you, especially if you have a defensive line like ours.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to run the football in the National Football League.
We're looking forward to watching it, Coach. Thanks for coming by here tonight to talk about it.
Oh, thank you.
Good to see you. Anthony Lynn, assistant head coach and running backs coach for the Buffalo Bills. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Good talking with Anthony Lynn, the Bills running backs coach, assistant head coach. Well, how about what he had to say about Bill Parcells? Wow. Said it was, he actually indicated it was almost intimidating to work for Bill Parcells when he worked with him with the Dallas Cowboys. But Anthony Lynn's been around a lot of good coaches. Shanahan, Parcells, loves working with Rex Ryan. In fact, you may have heard him. He puts Rex Ryan right up there with some of those great coaches that he has worked with. He did get the interview to be the head coach of the Jets last year after Rex Ryan left, but did not get the job. And he interviewed for an offensive coordinator position as well. But came here, I got the sense that he is very comfortable working with Rex Ryan, and it may just be a matter of time before he actually does get a head coaching job of his own. Bills running backs coach, a position filled with talent, and, of course, the assistant head coach of the Buffalo Bills. If you missed that interview, you can catch it up on our website, buffalobills.com, and all kinds of Bills content up there, including some video, a couple of video pieces about the Jim Kelly Celebrity Golf Tournament. We were out there this morning when Kelly and his buddies and sponsors and friends teed it up, all to benefit the Kelly for Kids Foundation. Let's listen to what Jim Kelly had to say as he reflected back on the past year and the fact that a year ago he was unable to attend the golf tournament because of his battle with cancer.
I would not have gotten through what I got through if it wasn't for the support, not only my family, but the people, the cards. And I try to read every single one. You can ask my assistant. I mean, I have stacks, and I pick certain ones, certain people to write back and send pictures to. And I know I can't do it to everybody, but it makes me want to continue to fight. And there are days that I don't feel good. I mean, it's just the way it is. And pretty much all of us, I guess, to a certain point. But always knowing that an encouraging word that I give to somebody will make their day better. And I came up with a line, I think I shared it with you guys before, but make a difference today for someone who is fighting for tomorrow. And that says it all right there, because people that have helped me get through my fight, it makes me want to continue that fight so I can inspire other people, because I want people to understand how much it means to me. It makes me even want to fight more. And if any all y'all know people that, whether it's cancer, whether fighting for an illness, by your presence, by your positive attitude, my family never walked into my hospital room, not one of them, with an attitude that, you know, they're walking in with a frown. They walked in with a smile on their face every time. And when you're sick and you're not feeling good, and when you have people do that, you have family, the support that I've had, God, it makes you want to even live harder and push to make a difference.
totally off topic.
That's all right. That's the way we are.
After that emotional album.
Shocker. I expected that from him.
I know. But this is a good question. I mean, this 25 years now, it's a big anniversary for you guys, the first Super Bowl team.
Yes.
Have you spent any time in the last few months just thinking about some memories from, because it's going to be celebrated this year in some way, that it was the first time.
To be honest, I didn't think one second about it. I just have so many things going on in my life right now. But now that you say that, and I think Scott told me about this just the other day, as a matter of fact, that, and Russ Brand talking to Russ about, we're going to celebrate after we hit it and have the 4 years in. Yeah, it's 25. Is that what you said, 25? Yeah, that's one. Let's rock off the four, you know, the four more, and then we'll celebrate after the fourth. But between now and then, we should make a good run at getting back to the Super Bowl. I like what I see. I was at practice, what was it, Friday? And, you know, I've been to practices before where I saw them, you know, they go through the motions and everything, but watching how smooth everything went and how enthusiastic everybody was, I haven't seen that. Yeah, you see it to a certain point when you watch practices, but when you watch it and you really get a feeling of, that's how it felt when I was out there. That's what I got. And when you talk to Rex or you talk to some of the other guys on the team, and talked even Thurman, when we were over to practice, you know, I don't even know when it was, a couple weeks ago, whatever, he feels the same thing. And when we look out there and we are reminded of how we prepared, not only physically but mentally, that's what I love to see, and I hope it continues.
What's it mean to you how Rex has embraced the past, the history immediately of this franchise, you know, having a first beer at the Big Tree, what that means to you guys that have lived it?
Well, Rex gets it. You know, when you talk about players' coach, he's about as much of a players' coach as you can get. He understands it. He gets it. He knows what it's about. And the thing is, yeah, he does a good job of talking. But I know this is one guy, when he talks, I just know by being a former player that when you talk, you better be able to back it up. Even though we have not played one game yet, he says all the right things. He talks the right things. But the thing is, unless the players get out there and play, the biggest step is making that step forward like they did. And I'll tell you what, they're pumped. And if there's somebody in Buffalo that's not excited about this season, something's wrong, you haven't spent a lot of time here, because he's got guys ready. But once you hit the field, we got the nucleus. We have the people that it's going to take. The biggest question is, we all know, is quarterback. If we get one guy, I don't care if it's EJ or Matt or whoever it is, if one of those guys steps up and becomes a quarterback we need, look out, everybody, especially the teams in the AFC East.
The success of this tournament, 29 years, going on to 30, and what it means to you?
Well, it means a lot, because when I started this, I thought maybe, you know, if I could get 10, 15, 20 out of it. Now I'm 29, I don't even think about it. My next goal is 50. I mean, I would love to be able to say on a 50, even though we haven't hit 30 yet, I'm looking ahead. Why not? I can do that, because I don't know what tomorrow brings. And I'm just going to enjoy myself. And the best part about it, when we started doing the luncheons at Ilio's, and really finding out where the money goes and how $2,500, $5,000, $10,000 means to some of these charities, and to have them get up and talk about it, it's wow factor. And I understand why I'm doing it. Yeah, you understand to a certain amount, but when you hear from their lips what the money goes for and how it impacts their life and their foundation, that's all worth it.
Jim Kelly speaking this morning at his golf tournament at Terry Hills outside Batavia. Yep, Rex Ryan took the entire Bills roster, a couple of the busloads full, and the coaching staff out for the golf tournament this morning. And they hit some balls. A couple of them participated in a long drive contest before the actual tournament got underway. And Rex Ryan talked about that and his decision to bring the entire Bills team out to Kelly's golf tournament.
We had a few of our players that obviously support this in play tournament and things. And when I heard about this, I talked to Jim about it, and I told him that he can count on our entire team being here. And so we plan on a long time. And it's just, you know, sometimes when you look at it, the OTAs and all that, you know, you build your team through X's and O's and practice habits and things. But the other thing is, too, it's events like this that bring your team together. And I think that's important. And you know, we want to build a close team, and obviously this is an opportunity for us to support Jim, Kelly's heroes, a great cause, and this is one of our own. You know, Jim Kelly's one of our own, And anytime we can support him and get out in our community, I think is an opportunity that we want to take advantage of.
I know you weren't here last year, but Jim couldn't be here last year, and now he's back. What is, I mean, just from the brief relationship you have with him now?
Well, just, you know, Jim's one of the toughest guys that obviously you ever meet. And, you know, my dad's had about 8 different bouts with cancer himself, so I know how tough it is. But the kind of particular cancer that Jim has and he's been battling, I mean, it's about as tough as it gets. And for him to be here and just, you know, fight like crazy is really an inspiration. I know it is to me.
Rex, this covers a lot on the checklist. Community involvement, team legacy, that sort of thing. Talk about the importance of kind of bringing the younger players out to this type of event.
Well, I think it's important. Anytime you mention that, you know, we have 80 former Buffalo Bills that live in this community. So I think it's great that our guys get a chance to get out and see it and also see that, hey, look, you know, Buffalo's not just about the weather. It's much more than that. It's, you know, it's about the people in this community. And obviously it means a lot to us and for our players to get out here and really, you know, be with former players as well. I think that's huge.
Rex Ryan, so he enumerated his reasons for taking the team out there, to be out in the community, to get a chance to see how the alums interact with the community, looking to build, bring his team together, he said. It's important. He says we want to build a close team, and they want to support Jim Kelly and the Kelly for Kids Foundation. The weather was iffy. Rainy, chilly, 50 degrees, maybe 46, 48 degrees this morning in Batavia at Terry Hills. And yet the Bills who were playing in the tournament, several of them, a handful anyway, said they were going to play, including quarterback Matt Cassel, who said the weather didn't bother him as far as playing golf today.
Oh, I'm definitely playing. I mean, we're not going to waste this day. I mean, it was 86 the other day. Today it's 45. It feels great. And great day for golf. No, but you know what? It's going to be a great day. We're all excited. Kelly for Kids is a great foundation, obviously. The Buffalo, it's been here in Buffalo for the last 30 years. They had a great gala last night, but anytime we can come out and support one of our own, especially an iconic figure like Jim Kelly, who has done so much for this community, it's great for us to all come out, and it's also great for the team to get a break from the action and also kind of get away from the field and actually get to, you know, hang out away from that and have a great event.
You've had a lot of OTAs in your career. Have you ever had one at a golf course?
No, but I think that it should be mandatory every year that we have an OTA at a golf course. You know, I multiple, if you ask me. I think it really helps us on the football field.
Quarterback Matt Cassel talking about the OTA and the golf course today. They did a workout day at the bowling alley a couple of weeks ago, and an OTA on the golf course today. We'll be back to wrap things up. We still have time for your phone calls if you want to talk about Rex Ryan's decision to do that. 803-0550 or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. We'll look at what we've learned tonight when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Been a good
and
night.
Now, what have we learned from tonight's show?
Well, I've learned that we're going to do that. That's one of the things I've learned.
On the fly learning.
Well, it'll sound better tomorrow. What have we learned tonight? Well, we learned a lot. We had a good show and talked to a couple of callers about Rex Ryan's idea, good idea, I think, to take his team out to Jim Kelly's golf tournament today and basically talked a lot about what they learned from that, what you thought they learned from that. Most, I think all callers thought that was a really good idea for Rex Ryan to do that. We also talked with Matt Sims, new quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, just claimed off waivers last Friday. Matt Sims, of course, you know his father is Phil Sims, former Super Bowl MVP, former New York Giants quarterback, now current CBS analyst with Jim Nantz on the lead broadcast for CBS. We asked Matt Sims what he remembered about his dad's playing career, and he reminded us he was 5 years old, just 5 years old, when his father retired from football.
I got older and I started to realize that my father was, a pretty decent football player, that there was a little bit more added pressure to succeed and do well. But, you know, that type of pressure, you know, it just, you know, all it does is just make you work harder and you know, try and accomplish your own feats and become your own man on the football field. And, you know, although at times, you know, in peewee football and in high school football, you know, there were some guys taking extra shots at me and, you know, all that stuff. But it was all worth it because it just made me a stronger man. And, you know, I'm the one that ended up making them in the end. So that's all that matters. You know, just I fought through the good fight, and now here I am, Buffalo Bill. So life can't get any better.
Matt Sims joined us on the show earlier tonight in the first hour of the show. What have we learned from another guest? Anthony Lynn, the Bills' assistant head coach and current running backs coach. He joined us a little bit earlier on this hour. The running backs coach with a stable of good running backs, including LeSean McCoy, Fred Jackson, Booby Dixon, Bryce Brown, Carlos Williams, and the fullbacks, Felton and Connor. All kinds of good running backs on this roster right now. And we asked Anthony Lynn about about the Bills' decision to go ground and pound when it comes to their offense and whether that will work in the NFL.
Ground and pound is just winning football games. You know, it just means that you are committed to running the football. It doesn't mean you're going to run the football 50 times a game.
Okay.
You just committed to running the football for four quarters. That's what we were in Denver. You know, we won more games in 6 years than any team in NFL history. It was the ground and pound mentality because we were committed to running the football, but we would throw the football to beat you. If you want to take the run away and give us, we'll take that, you know, but we're going to be committed to running. And I think when you play in the Northeast, you have to be.
Pretty good analysis from Anthony Lynn on what exactly ground and pound means when it comes to the Buffalo Bills. Both of those interviews are available on our website a little bit later on tonight, so keep an eye out for that. That's what we've learned tonight. Call here from Ralph in Maryland. Ralph, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, it's actually Rob, but...
Okay, Rob, thanks.
Yeah, I had a question about defensive, like NFL defensive records. If you had to choose a record for the Buffalo Bills defense to break next year, what record would you have them break?
Wow, that's an interesting question.
What do you think would be the most probable record for them to break?
The most they are within reach, obviously, of, I don't know about the all-time sack record, but leading the league in sacks, they have been for a couple of years, so that would be huge. If I had to choose one which I would prefer they would break or be near breaking, it would be takeaways. I think that would go the longest way towards determining wins and losses. What would you choose, Rob?
I think the most probable is, like you said, sacks, or maybe even passing yards. I think we could definitely make like a strong push for a good passing defense. But I don't know. I think with the loss of Spikes, I think it would be definitely a challenge to have a really, really solid run defense. But I think it definitely has to be sacks or passing yards per game.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Yeah, Spikes, I'll look it up. I'm interested to know how many plays he was on the field for and the percentage of plays he was on the field for last year. Will he be missed? I don't know. He was a good player and certainly a good teammate and a very good guy. But, you know, Preston Brown did not come off the field last year. Spikes did a lot. Nigel Bradham was on most of the, most plays. So those are the two last year. Those were the two key linebackers for the Bills, and they played that year, obviously last year, without Kiko Alonso as well. So I wouldn't lay awake at night worrying about the missing Brandon Spikes. Again, a good player, a part-time player when it comes to the Buffalo defense. But I wouldn't lay awake at night and worry that you're going to miss a whole lot there. All right, thanks very much for tuning in tonight. We are back on the air tomorrow night at 7 o'clock with more talk about the Bills and the NFL, and we hope you can join us tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We're here every night this week, 7 to 9 p.m. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Like NOCO on Facebook.com/NOCO for great deals, specials, and more. Our engineer, Pete Karchus, producer, Jay Harris, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. We'll see you tomorrow night at 7 with another edition of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.